He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
He's being exposed without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or he's being exposed without the best lineup in the league. No, it's like the fact that the Lakers don't employ Darvin Ham. That's the reason. You know what, Harrison? For that alone, for that comment right there. Look at this.
Boom. I told you it was coming back. I told you. I called my shot. I said, I know that there's going to be a point later in the show where I win you and the fans back.
All right. So that would Loungers. Mean you're in charge of number two here. So who's your who? No, no, I was in charge of number two. So you're in charge of number one. Who's number one on your list?
The Thunder, for the reasons that we sort of have started alluding to, you know, already throughout the show, is just like it's funny because I remember, and I've talked about this, like the last couple years, you know, you and I were very much like, yeah, the Lakers would destroy the Thunder in a series. Like, I'm not that worried about that matchup in a series, but the Thunder are not only better this year, but they've gotten better at the specific things that the Lakers are less good at now, post Anthony Davis. And, you know, Hartenstein is exactly the type of big that I would be concerned is going to give them fits, where he's not a guy who needs the ball. So he's not a guy who's like prone to sort of like the, oh, like we can front him, we can disrupt him this way, you know, we can sort of like try and make him a passer and all this stuff. Like he is just going to be throwing himself kamikaze style at the offensive glass and trying to reward like the Thunder on the a few possessions where Shea misses. And, you know, again, Shea is exactly the type of guard that you were describing earlier, that I'm describing earlier, like a guy who can get into the mid-range, guy who can draw fouls. Again, the whistle will probably like quiet a little bit in the playoffs, but he's still going to get some calls. And I do think that the Lakers, you know, don't have a ton of guys that I would feel great about putting on him in a playoff series for extended stretches. And so they would, and you know, again, it's just like I just feel like the Alex Caruso beats the Lakers, you know, several years after they like cheaped out on him thing, just like feels like the type of thing that would happen to me and that you would get really mad about over the course of the offseason. You know, it's like Alex Caruso hits a buzzer beater to like win.
I would send one tweet about it. Would send one tweet about it during that series, and everybody would act as if I'm bringing it up all the time.
And then you would talk about it all offseason. In every single show, you would bring up how the Lakers could have had, you know, Alex Caruso really, really took their lunch. Could have had that guy on their team, but, you know, they decided
I did
not
actually mention it yesterday.
Well, there you go.
Here's my thing, though, Harrison. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying. And the way that I kind of phrase it when I talk about OKC isn't that I'm not afraid of OKC, end of sentence there. My stance on OKC is I'm not as afraid of OKC as their statistical profile would indicate I should be. And I'm kind of like, racking my brain as to why.
Yeah,
and
your contrarian urge is like fighting against the logic within your system.
Yeah, it's just like inside every man there's two wolves. And right now they are currently gnawing on the same chunk of steak that is this OKC team that legitimately confounds me. There's a lot to them there that they're going to have an MVP. I think Shea's going to win MVP this year. They ran laps around the rest of the West you know, this year. They have this historical net rating that is just out of this world. That said, there are a couple of things that I don't think you want to be able to say about your team going up against the Lakers in a series. The number one thing on that list would be, I don't know if they'll score consistently enough. And I think that's how I kind of feel about OKC. Their offense, they I think they would be one of the worst shooting title
Lakers,
teams.
If the Lakers don't lock back in, they're going to be scoring pretty easily, you know, on
that's true. That's true.
I expect the Lakers defensive effort to be a little higher than it's been the last couple games. You know, and also they're going to be less tired, frankly, probably, than like when they played like 18 games in 25 days or whatever their last stretch was.
I think it was 18 games in 15 days. I'd have to check my math there, but it felt like it. You know, it's bad when I turn on the TV and there's the Lakers sitting right there and Jen goes, oh, fuck, they're playing again.
Like that was my reaction when Mia was like, yeah, I got to go into work tonight. I'm like, oh, really? They're scheduling you on an off. She's like, no, the Lakers play tonight.
Yeah. Yep. But the
like again, why?
What? Yeah. But yeah, I think OKC's offense. Because they don't have a ton of shooters. Like they have Isaiah Joe, who shoots really, really well.
Yeah.
Shea obviously can get hot. He's good at basically everything.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
J-Dub is kind of hit or miss. It's just Caruso isn't really a playoff shooter. Like they're
Caruso's proven he's a playoff shooter. I don't know if he's a regular season shooter.
No, there were times even on those Lakers teams that he was a little reticent to shoot. If it just kind of boils down to a dogfight and it comes down to the final possessions and which team can generate an open look, the Lakers, that's actually where they're rather good is their ability to generate open looks.
It's probably against, one of their best qualities. If not their best.
And so if OKC gets one too many bad shooting nights, that series gets really, really tight against the Lakers. And the other thing too with OKC's defense, Pete and I talked about this too, either on or off camera, but OKC's defense is predicated on a ton of ball pressure. They get up in your jersey, they hand check like crazy, they fight around screens, they don't allow switches. They are just a very physical defensive team, but they're kind of small. They aren't big and long like the Rockets are. They aren't big and long like Boston is, right, with the two J's. A lot of their guys are these defenders who get up into your knees and they just kind of make you really uncomfortable by playing that tight. LeBron and Luka aren't going to be bothered by that. And I'm really kind of curious how the Lakers offense would handle OKC's defense over the course of a 7-game series. I would also probably take OKC in that series.
No, you wouldn't. You'd pick the Lakers just because every bone in your body would be, as once you saw the amount of people picking OKC to sweep, you would not be able to resist saying, ooh, like Lakers in seven, because you're going to it's going to get so stuck in your craw that people aren't giving the Lakers enough of a chance.
Any chance whatsoever.
Yeah. And so you will end up picking them whether you believe it or not.
I hate how well you know me. 10 years into doing this together.
Yeah, you know.
It's really kind of annoying. All right, your honorable mentions. Do you have any?
No.
You had one of mine. You had the Clippers. How do you feel about the Warriors in this conversation?
The Warriors were my number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have roughly similar lists. The difference being I don't have the Warriors on my list and you don't have the Nuggets. And so we basically just... That's a big difference. Why are you so much more nervous about the Warriors?
I'm just always nervous about Steph. Like it's just, I know the Lakers have had some success over the last couple of years against him. It's just in a playoff series, that's not a guy I'm excited about having on the other side. And you know, Jimmy, has proven to be a playoff killer. He basically took PTO half the year to charge up. And we've seen what he does when he doesn't need to do it, when he doesn't do that. And so, maybe this is the year Father Time sort of finally beats him, but I think I'd be worried about those two guys. It's like you're 1-2 in a playoff series. And they now have the balance between, you know, they have like Draymond's defensive presence, and then they have like Steph being able to provide scoring punch from the outside, while Jimmy being able to provide scoring threat pressure at the rim in the exact sort of way that the Lakers may struggle with at times, you know, given their current defensive makeup. They are the type of team that I would be a little bit concerned about. I'd still, again, like, you know, I think like the only teams that I know for a fact I would pick right now over the Lakers on this list are the Thunder and Cavs. Like the Warriors, I would go back and forth.
Neither of us mentioned Boston.
Yeah, that was intentional on my part. I'm not scared of them.
Okay. All right.
I'm not admitting that on air. Come on, this is a Lakers podcast. We're not going to sit here and talk about, oh, the Celtics are so good. People can listen to every national NBA pod if they want that, you know?
I think it matters a lot more this year how healthy Kristaps Porzingis is.
Yeah, they're not on my list. I'm sorry. The Lakers wouldn't have to play them till the finals. You know, Lakers, I think 1-1 against them this year. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, all right. I won't say where they are on my list or even if they're at the top of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on.
When Luka finally like defeats Nico Harrison fully cosmically by winning the title by the Kobe playoff rondo on Drew Holiday and just mentally alphaing him, you know, it's...
No, I mean the idea that the final straw that broke Nico Harrison's back is that somehow apparently the Boston Celtics shut down Luka in that final series. By the way, he averaged 30 in the series.
Yeah, no, Jaylen Brown shut him down, Anthony. I was told that's why he got finals MVP. He took him out of the series despite the like 35 points a game or whatever. You know, it's like, again, I understand. It's like, it's really like everybody, the way people talked about Luka after that series versus the way people talked about Kyrie was like the flirting versus harassment meme. It's just like Kyrie was
piss trickling down his leg the whole
series. In that series. And then everybody's like, you know, Nico Harrison's like, you know, we need, you know, the Kobe disciple and Kyrie. And it's like, Luka, can he really win on the biggest stage?
I mean, I guess time will tell, according to...
I've always watched Kyrie's career and been like, you know what? That's the guy I think you need to build as your 1A around. It's gone well every time.
Let's move on. I don't want to say nice things about Boston. Let's move on. And again, the point of this aspect of the conversation here, Harrison's still sitting there with an exclamation mark because he also refused to say
hold on to it until the end of the show.
Yeah. But the last week, JJ Redick was asked because John Morant was his hamstring miraculously healed after.
Oh, wait, were we not going to do least scared of?
Oh, shit. Well, here's mine, since we're talking about them anyway right now, is the Memphis Grizzlies. They're the team that I am just not at all. I would, you know how sometimes you'll have teams kind of like tank to make sure they face a certain team. I'm kind of sort of against that in general, but if the Lakers had to do that against, you know, to make sure they face somebody in the first round, it would be the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they are absolutely fraudulent. I think they're about to implode. And I think they're about to like trade away John Morant this offseason.
Let's just say I'm rooting for them to win games and hold on to that 5 seed. But I think that's like the obvious answer. You know, again, like Houston, not really that afraid of, as we sort of got into. Mine was the Nuggets.
I as you were getting ready to say it, I was like, holy shit, he's gonna say Denver.
I'm just saying.
Is this trolling?
No, it's a little bit trolling, but it's also that, you know, the Lakers, they've beaten them now. They've gotten the monkey off their back. Like they have defeated sort of the paralysis demon that was sleeping on them, and it's Darvin Ham. And now, like I'm just saying, what's the Nuggets record against the Lakers since D'Angelo Russell and Darvin Ham aren't here anymore? I'm just asking the question.
And Anthony Davis, but like also that too.
Nope. You know? AD ducks the slander for me.
Did you see these guys are my dudes. I love these guys a lot, but the coach's den, did you see their playback at all?
No.
Where LeBron made two free throws late in that game yesterday. They were like, "We are not AD." And it's like, "Oh, that's so mean, but it's true."
Yeah, no, I too had all the faith in the world LeBron was going to hit both of those in the tight. Yeah.
Man, him swishing quarter. Both of them.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I had zero doubt in my mind.
AD's like knee knobbliness in that moment, like kind of. Well, LeBron always has.
I was not looking up the Taylor Swift lyric quote graphic card of thinking about jumping off very tall somethings going into those free throws. That was not a thing I was doing.
Yeah. It's so nice that there are like aspects to Anthony Davis's game that I just don't have to pretend. Don't worry me. It's nice that I can move on and I can just say, that guy sucked at free throws in the fourth quarter.
You talked about the Grizzlies looking like they're ready to implode. Like, I think the Nuggets are pretty close to there. And, you know, I think Jamal Murray's insanity run is over. I think, I'm an attempt of fates. The Lakers needed a big boy to defeat a big boy, and they got Luka now. I think it's like, you know, I'm not seeing Jokic look quite as effective since then. And again, it's like Mike Malone is the older brother that, you know, as soon as you learn how to play like the controls to the fighting game that he's playing against you, he starts unplugging your controller. Like he gets real mad when you're even footing.
Or like beating you.
Yeah.
Like beating you, not beating you in the game, but like beating you.
I think the Lakers have the coaching advantage in that series. I'm going to say it.
It should be stated. I think both you and I are the oldest brothers in our families.
Yeah.
So in this case, we're both admitting to, like, I just admitted to beating my little brother.
No,
did he ever beat me and stuff?
I was
my youngest brother randomly got like crazy good at Call of Duty to the point where I had to stop playing. I was like, this little fucking 7 year old.
No, see, the thing is like my brother that's next closest in age to me is only like a year and a half difference. So I didn't have like the older brother video game advantage or whatever. Like we were like the same generation. Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't like that for me. But you would see throwing Xbox controllers at like their younger siblings.
I'm 13 years older than Alex, my youngest brother.
Yeah.
And he was really effing good at Call of Duty. So good at one point that Andrew, the middle brother, who is 6.5 years younger than me, he would have his like high school basketball teammates bring their Xboxes to the house so that Alex could beat the game for them really quickly. And then they would have it unlocked for them when they got back home. So like when Alex and I would play in any of these games and he would just absolutely dog walk me, I had to beat him up. Like it was the only way to make myself feel better.
My only option was to fight him. That's what Mike Malone's going to say after the series. It's like, why did you tackle JJ Redick into the stands? To make a stance.
Did you see that motherfucker call timeout?
You think I'm going to let my child beat me like this?
Darvin had no idea that he could call time. JJ Redick just stopped the run. What else am I supposed to do here, guys? I got to fight him.
I'm just saying that like the coaching discrepancy between the two teams looks awfully different now that Michael Malone is not playing chess against someone who has their checkers board that they brought from home.
Yeah. You know, or it's like
tic-tac-toe.
Thank you. Darvin
yells Connect Man. Four.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, you know, like,
it's like rolling right, the dice.
What things would we research? What things would we have our analytics department research? This again, stemming from JJ Redick having his analytics department.
This is so look, good. I can't
look
believe,
up.
I know. I can't believe he did this and then it also admitted to it. Incredible. I love him so much.
And it was true. Like it's just all of it. So
he wouldn't have admitted it if it wasn't true. He would not have acknowledged
it. Would be
he
funny.
Sent them on this analytics quest.
Lakers Twitter. I tried, guys. But so he has his analytics department look up, and this has actually also been proven on from other people on Twitter as well. But the health of teams and the health luck that some teams have over others. And the Lakers have consistently been at the bottom of that list. And apparently JJ Redick found another way to define that, you know, these teams get their best players back for these big
payroll available against the Lakers.
Yeah. And so, you know, all of these things point to this being true, but the biggest and most notable aspect of this is that JJ Redick actually had the Lakers analytics department look this up.
My new dream interview is interviewing the Lakers analytics department employee who is asked to figure out how much of, like, do players actually come back against us from injuries more?
Yeah. I also, if there's any carryover from coach to coach to coach, if there's like one person who's in charge of the analytics department and has been there for decades in the way that the Lakers tend to have people there for decades.
Kurt Rambison is abacus. He's like,
could you imagine? Like, I want to know like the different things that like Byron Scott asked for, the different things that like Darvin Ham asked
for.
It's not
the same people the entire time. Believe it or not, there's been some coaching staff changeover in the analytics departments with all the coaching staff tumult.
It would be so amazing.
Well, first of all, the Lakers did not, I am fairly certain that the Lakers did not have an analytics department under Byron Scott, or at the very least for the analytics department's safety, they could not let Byron know where the office was.
No. Like, they had one. And Byron, if I remember this correctly, they had one and Byron would ask for the sheets every day from, you know, these one sheets from the analytics department so that he could throw them away.
I feel like this is something that we made up as a bit that is not actually true. There's
I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure we wrote about this at Silver Screen.
There's no way.
Like, I'm pretty sure he would get that. He would get like a one sheet from the analytics department and he would keep asking for it.
He just takes the sheet from them and he's like, yeah, you know, I do have one question.
Don't
you
care.
Ever been in a fist fight?
Kobe. Well, Kobe sitting over there.
There's no way this is true. I'm sorry.
Pretty sure it's true.
Dude, this is where I wish that we had like a live producer on here.
See, this is headcanon though. At the very least, it's headcanon.
I want to believe it, but I don't think it's true.
Bye, everyone.